Coincidence or magic? A lady walks into a bakery. She says, "Do you have pain au chocolat?" And the reason I ask is, if this is sort of a boulangerie, then you probably just mainly have bread. But if it's a patisserie, then maybe you have pain au chocolat. And the fellow behind the counter says, "Yes, we have pain au chocolat." Gong, 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 gong. Coincidence or magic? A man walks into a vintage toy store, and he says, "Now, I know this is a long shot, but I had this toy as a child. It was a sort of gooey sand that you could sculpt with. Now, I realize you couldn't get a used version of this, because once it's out of its bags, it dries up, and so you'd have to have a brand new version of this, and I don't even remember what it's called." And the clerk says, "That's called silly sand, and we actually have an unopened box available." Gong, 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 gong. Coincidence or magic? I could go on and on like this. Lou, my friend Lou, says an incantation, hoping that he will find a special sort of sunglasses from the 60s he's been looking for in vintage shops, and he walks into a vintage store in French Lick, Indiana, and there, sitting there, are these glasses, these hippie glasses that he's been looking for ages. And he thinks, "I finally said this incantation, and now I found the glasses." Coincidence or magic? Gong, 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 gong. Oh, my friend, I wish that it were magic, and I wish that it was a coincidence, and I wish that I knew, but I do not know. All I know is that once something happens, by gosh, I guess that's what was going to happen. I don't know. Are there other things that could have happened, and they go off on tangents into other universes or something? Could we hop on one? Are you a modal realist? Do you think that other universes exist, that every decision spawns a separate universe? How exhausting. I bet there's cruises that go there. I know some old folks that would take one. I'm taking a cruise to another universe, and because of the buffets that they have there. Now, here you can only get one kind of shrimp. And there, see, and that's why they go for the adventure, you know. I'm so used to things now, but you're not. You think you know what causes things, or you think you know what it's all about, but you just arrived at some conclusion based on probably a lot of coincidences. It seems every time I brush my teeth, I don't know what happens. I go to work. Well, I don't know if it caused it. I don't know what causes anything. I don't think we know anything. I'd just like to know something simple like the origin of the stamp is something we don't know. So where's stamps come from? No one knows. Someone out there is yelling, "Yes, we do." You think you do. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you do for practical reasons. You know, gravity is like that. Newton's formula for gravity, that's good enough, but it's not precise. It's not exactly right. Pi. Pi is perfect. No, not that pi. P.I. Private investigator? No, not private investigator. The number pi. Oh, and it's infinite. What else is infinite? Not my patience. I wish it were, but it isn't. Oh, I get so impatient. Why? Because I get frustrated. Why? Because I don't know what's going on. Oh, just all this limited information and senses. I wish they were better. I have this jeweler's loop, which is like a little magnifying glass. It goes down over my glasses, over one eye, so I can see little watches and things like that. And so I can see writing on coins. Why do you want to see that? Because I'm thinking, who does the coin trust in? Oh, I see, it's God. I thought it said goo, because my eyes aren't good. So I give this jeweler's loop, and it makes me look a little bit what they call steampunk. What's that? I'm not exactly sure. I think it has something to do with like Golden Compass or something, like a world, a futuristic Victorian world. Like, what if Victorian England was the future? Oh, my word, here's your... Here, borrow my large knife. We don't want to do that. Why? I don't know. I just think Victorian age was so prickly. Like wool, everything's woolen. I don't want that on my nethers. It'd be tender like that. I don't want that. I want whatever age wore like silk. The silken age, I guess, is what I'm looking for. The silk underwear age, whenever that was, era. They say that Ootsy the Iceman had on a thong. I'm spreading that rumor. I don't think that's exactly right. It is. I've seen the pictures. He had like a thong and chaps. So I don't know where he was headed. But I think that's a fine look. We just now society has changed so much. And I'm sure because he was from Italy, it was fine leather. You know, it's like those Italian loafers and everything. Say, oh, those look like women's shoes or something. Well, first of all, it doesn't matter. I'm comfortable in them. Second of all, I think you're just displaying a lack of a sophistication there. I can wear anything I want on my feet anyway. If it's well made, that's just a plus, I think. I put some ugly things on my feet, like flip-flops and all, which I think are damaging to the soul. And I don't mean the soul of that was an unintended pun. I mean the thing that the source of life, the heart, your very existence, I think, is threatened by them. The sound, the substance of them, the material that they're made of. Rubber has been very mixed blessing for humankind. Look at the tire, how burdensome the tire has been. The tire is our albatross. They do torture people by putting tires full of flames around their necks and everything. And that's just an indication of what a burden the actual tire is that won't go away. We made something that can't be destroyed. And it just, well, when there's just one of them, that's no big deal. I'll toss it out in the woods. But all of a sudden, there's many, 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 like tribbles, like funny, foul-smelling, rubbery tribbles that don't move and aren't cute or anything. And then when the tread gets worn off of them, the steel belts start poking through and sharp little razor-tipped steel things come on through. What are you talking about? I'm not sure. They also make good swings for children. But do swings make good tires? Right? That's what insurance salesmen always say. Say stocks, yes, are good investments, but are investments good life insurance or something like that? I don't know. It was not successful. The insurance salesman did not succeed with me. Why? Very short attention span. So even though I think his points were probably good, I drifted. I was thinking about something else. About halfway through, I thought, is this the Fuller Brush Man? And I was thinking about that so much. I go, where's his brush case? Where's his sample case? And I got lost, and I wasn't hearing him saying annuity, annuity. I go, annuity, is that a kind of bristle? So I need to pay attention more, but sometimes my lack of attention serves me well. I can't be propagandized or hypnotized because I'm not paying enough attention. No, that's not true. I think I'm hypnotized by the sound, right? When I was in Hamelin, I think it was, I was at a concert, and it was a flautist. And this fellow had really, I think, been hired to rid the town of rats as a sort of exterminator. And they found out he had a musical ability, and then he taught the children, and he convinced them all they had to buy instruments to form a marching band. Put them all on a monorail and sent them off. I don't know the rest of the story. I got there. When I was in Hamelin, nothing was going on. And I said, boy, it seems so abandoned. And they said, well, yes, because the fella, the musician, he took everybody. I said, how's that possible? I don't know. Sometimes we just believe people we follow blindly, don't we? Oh, do you follow anything blind? Who are your heroes? Who are your heroes? I'm trying to think of what mine are just off the top of my head. I think a lot of them are fictional. That's not good. Maybe that is good. Just please, if the writer is still alive, don't write something. That's what I fear with like Nancy. Say, oh, we're going to make her do something horrible. And Henry, I don't know, is Henry still around? I used to read it religiously. And by religiously, I mean I would murder anybody who contradicted Henry. No, he didn't say much. That's what was good, you know, because Henry wasn't speaking. Therefore, I had, I'd say, well, anything that comes out of the comic character, the cartoon character Henry's mouth, I will follow. Nothing came out. Therefore, it wasn't a harmful decision. But it could have been, right? I could have picked some other cartoon character. There are several now. There's a lot of them now because people have learned you can make money off of them. Windsor McKay had this dinosaur named, I think, Gertie or something like that. And he would illustrate, he'd draw thousands and thousands of pictures and then take photos of them, right, and put them in all and have a cartoon. They do this on stage, apparently, which I find hard to believe. And who's going to sit there? It's, oh, really? I'm going to watch you do, I'm flipping it up real fast or something. I don't know how that worked. But I read that he did that. Yeah, he did like live cartooning on stage, just drawing real fast and sort of animating and maybe and erasing. I don't know how that works. I'm sure it was good. Maybe not. Who knows? Watching someone do their work. I'd like to do that. Just go up. That's a performance piece. I'm sure that's been done. Just someone sitting in a cubicle. One of the audience members thinking I could do, my child could do that. No, they couldn't because they couldn't reach the keyboard. So there you go. Art is not easy, is it? I don't know. It is if it is, and it isn't if it isn't. That's the thing, isn't it? Stuff is, predicting is just all about ignorance. Oh, there's so much I don't know, no wonder I can't figure out what's going on or what's going to happen. Sometimes I feel like I'm right, but maybe it's just a coincidence. That could totally be right. I've gone to the racetrack and picked two winners in a row. And then all of a sudden I feel like, hey, I think I know how to pick winners at the racetrack. Next race, something must be wrong with my formula. Or some kind of factor must have, no, you know what? You never had enough information to begin with. So that's the thing. When you get something right, there's two ways of thinking. I did something to make this happen. Or I did nothing to make this happen. And people think both things. When something goes wrong, people think, I did something to make this happen. Or sometimes people think, I did nothing to make this happen. So you have two choices, and both of them may be absolutely incorrect or correct at the same time. Now, go live your life. Oh, I'm so sorry. That is why I'm here, to take your hand and say, there's only a couple things that are going to console you, and I guarantee that they involve either eating or something like that. Sit down. I want you to sit down in this comfy chair. I'm going to bring you a tasting menu. Well, I don't like many foods. I'm not going to bring you many foods, so it's perfect. I'm going to bring you just little things. The first is a microgreen salad, and the actual salad is very, very small, and you will need a jeweler's loop to even eat it. That's how small they are. The arugula is really the size of a tardigrade. And for a tardigrade, we say, what is this giant leafy? But for us, it's nearly microscopic. Oh, we have an unseen world. We have a visible world. We have a world that we can see, but is too large to see at once. We have things existing behind other things, don't we? How much of the world do we really see? Hi, I'm Hardy White. I don't know, but I feel like I should be giving you some kind of recipes or something like that. But I don't, people have so many dietary restrictions that I don't know what to say, though. I'll say this. I'll just describe it in adjectives. That way, have it, first of all, get a crunchy. And on top of the crunchy, put a smooth, maybe a savory smooth. All right? And on top of the savory smooth, put a sort of a greeny chlorophyll. And if you want, add an acidic or a fatty. Fatty. No, not a fatty. Well, do I have to roll the fatty first? Not that kind of fatty, my goodness. I mean fatty like, not pate, but, you know, something like that. It could be even peanut butter sort of fatty, right? Do you follow me? Okay, I'll give you a minute to go get those things. Do you have your scissors? Oh, I forgot the project. We were going to do a food project. Okay, forget that. I need you to go get construction papers, and I need you to get safety scissors. And the reason you have to be safety scissors is we're going to be sticking them towards our eye for quickly. There's a step where I say, jam the scissors into your forehead. And I don't want you to, if you miss and hit your eye, I don't want you to hurt it. So get the safety scissors. Get some glue. We'll probably be about 4 or 5 different types of glue. Some of them organic. Some of them are horrible, chemical, very caustic. So that should be fun. And you can get a lot of these things at the craft store. And other things you're going to have to get from industrial wholesale distributors. So it's a very elaborate project, but it's worth it. And at the end of the day, you'll say, hey, look at that. I made my own Jeff Koons sculpture. What is it supposed to be? I don't know what it is. I think it's Michael Jackson eating a puppy. Oh, I am glad that we're together. We could be apart as well. We are apart. We're together and apart at the same time. You are in the paradox universe. It's not. We call it the paradox universe because everybody in it is stupid and thinks that things are contradictions just because they can't see. And that's lovely. That's okay. I'm not being condescending. I don't see that much more. It's like Dr. Manhattan saying, hey, I'm just another thing. I'm also a puppet. I just can see the strings, is what he said. And then he's not so, we've moved on to Dr. Boulevardier, which has a lot of more Campari than Dr. Manhattan. Has just the vermouth. Now, I am not an expert on many things. I know that I sometimes speak in a voice that sounds confident, and it is confident because I have just come to the determination that I am myself, and there's not much I can do about it. I try to so-called improve myself, but I'm not even sure what that means. What if I improve myself by changing the way I think and adhering more to some kind of horrible philosophy or something? That wouldn't be good, would it? So I'm gonna be a better person, and in my group, being a better person means giving the hot foot to dogs. You tie a little match to it. Oh no, that can't be. Well, in my group, it's de rigueur. Well, don't do it anymore. Move on. Follow your heart. There's nothing you can do, even if it's wrong, I guess. Say, oh, follow your heart. Well, who you gonna follow somebody else's heart? I mean, I don't even know if you have a choice. So you just follow your dreams. Do you even have a choice? I guess you could say, okay, I'm just gonna have them follow yours. But mine are all messed up too. So you might as well follow your own, right? It's like, if you've got it, if you've got your own, you don't need to get another one. That's what I always say. Like I got enough. I don't need to get a pillow on the fly. I have enough sort of flesh on my neck or something that I don't really need one of those pillows. I just eat another donut or something, and then my head will not tilt over on the long plane ride. Oh, I wish you were on a long plane ride with me. You are. And I wish that ride would never end. Wait, I do. I mean, I enjoy the ride because I'm watching Kung Fu Panda two rows in front of me with no sound. And sometimes the gal will move her head in front of the screen. It's really annoying. Why am I not watching? I have no headphones. It's a short flight. They're using a large plane on a short flight. And so they're not handing out headphones. I did not bring my earbuds. Earbuds. I don't like using that expression because I feel like they're gonna blossom into another kind of ear while they're in mine. And I don't want that. That's scary to me. I had seed phobia when I was a kid, that seeds were going to get into me and start growing in my ear, or I'd eat one and start growing, the plant would be in there, come out of my body or something, and I would just be a chia. And that's a real, I guess children have that fear. So I got a seed in my belly button, and it was so nice and damp and warm in there that the seed germinated. And for a while, I had, I don't know what it was, air potato coming out of my belly. Oh, shudder. That does something to us, doesn't it? Promise. Oh, you have just given me the most horrible image, Hardy. I'm sorry, it is. I know. It's scary to me, too. All of biology, the fact that we are so fragile, is frightening to all of us. We're all scared. We're all terrified. Come over here. We're having a terrified party. Really, if we just all acknowledge that we're in it together and we're all scared and it's all temporary, I think things instantly would just go absolutely. You'd start hearing calypso music and people break out the drinks and say, I'm going to devote my life to ice sculpture from now on, and there'd be dancing and everything. But people just have this idea that perhaps being dead is better than being alive. Some of them, I'm scared of them. And there's some people think, well, maybe if I take other people to heaven with me. No. It isn't. Is it like some kind of gym where you get a break on your dues if you sign up other people? Is that what it's like?
Say, I got my DNA tested. If I can get you to do it, I get $10 off my next time they test it.
Why do you have to get it tested twice?
My ethnicity might change. As you get older, sometimes you'll get, I don't know, you'll get more Scottish.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true.
But I'll tell you what. If I did move into a condominium and they said that I would get a little money off if I convinced somebody else to move in to it, I wouldn't do that to you. First of all, I don't want to live in the same condominium. I think that would spoil things. Because when I visit you, I want to go somewhere different. I just don't want to go down a couple floors. Your apartment is identical to mine. I don't want that. That's not interesting to me. Let's go some third place then. All right. I mean, I'm not going to not socialize with you just because you live on the one floor down in the same condominium. Let's go over to Rascal House. Let's go over to Rascal House and we will get the early bird special together. Do you think that's fun? Does that sound good to you?
Yes.
I would love it. I would just love to sit there and have a meal with you. I don't know what you eat. It doesn't bother me. I don't tell people what to, that is intimate. Anything that you put in or out of yourself or in and around, I don't care what you rub on yourself or anything, that really, really is up to you. And, you know, we can talk about it, I guess, if it gets to the point where it does sort of affect me or I have some sort of objection to it. Say, I wouldn't do that. If you have to kill the kangaroo to rub the kangaroo blood on your chest, then I need to stop you until you explain to me why that's important. I'll hear you out. But then I might have to actively stop you. I don't know. I haven't spoken to the kangaroo, so I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. I'm looking out. I'm an outsider looking into the kangaroo blood chest rubbing ritual, and so I don't know much about it. So I don't know what to. I can't weigh in. None of that goes on in Australia, which is always also strange to me. I'm talking about something that is strictly a New Jersey phenomenon, and I don't know where the kangaroos come from. I imagine they're imaginary. I hope they are. And I've been to events where there's all sorts of imaginary animals and things happen to them, but it's, you know, it's kind of ambivalent about it because they're not real. That will happen in cartoons. I'll say, gosh, I don't know how I feel about, because a friend was saying, I hope Woody Woodpecker dies. I won't see him die. So, oh, I don't know. First of all, it's ugly. Then I'm thinking, well, he's a drawing. So I don't know, and I think the person who did the voice is long gone. And his last name's Pecker, which I think is funny. Oh, it's not Woodpecker. A lot of people think that. It's Woody, quote, Wood, his nickname, Pecker. Woody Woodpecker. Wouldn't Woody be the nickname? No, I know that you think that, like Woody Woodbury or something, but it isn't that at all. What were we talking about? I'm sure we were talking about something. I know we were, because you came over here and you sat down next to me. I suppose that's because of your seat assignment. Let's imagine we're on a plane. Let's imagine. I love doing that. Let's imagine we're on a plane for a minute. Oh, you must be in 22A. I'm in 22B. You want the window? Let's both have the window. No, we can't do that. You sit here. I'll sit here. And oh my gosh, I'm so glad to be your seatmate. I don't know, not seatmate. I don't think we're legally bound together or anything. We are for the flight. We have to sit here. It's the law. So once you have your seat assignment, and people switch seats like that, but I find that's very dangerous. I like to sit where I'm told and then sit there as still as possible for the duration of the flight. What are you going to do? Are you going to do a crossword? Are you going to watch one of the movies or something? Are you going to do some work? You got to put it into airplane mode. I put myself into airplane mode. And what does that mean? That means that I turn off my Bluetooth and all that, and I just go inside my own head. I don't let anything else in. I call that airplane mode. And why? Because the other stuff interferes with my navigation, and I must get through this life in some way, and so I need to turn off things externally. I can't have y'all beeping and bopping and doop, 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 and provide an interference to my communication with my own soul. My soul is the tower, and it says to me, hey, we are third in line for takeoff. Prepare the cabin for dessert, or whatever they say. I'd make a terrible air assistant. What do they call now? Flight attendant. Something like that. I don't think I could do that. I've thought about that. I can't do it. I really don't think I could do any job. really. There's a lot of volunteer work I feel like I'm very suited for, but this would bring in things to people. Say, could you get me a, this is what I hear. Yes, could you get me a, okay, I'm already forgot what you said. I hope you said ginger ale. No, I said water. Ginger ale, water, it's just spicy water, spicy, sugary water. Come on, man. What did he say? Did he say we're on the wrong one? Where's this plane going? Did he say we're on the wrong one? It's going to North Arlington, right? I hope so. Because I'm going to see my great-grandmother's house. She doesn't live in it anymore. But I want to see what... I might knock on the door and say, hey, I have no connection to this house. Do you mind if I walk through it? I say, sure. Why are you here? I can't tell you. I don't want to say, really. I've never been in the house. I never met my great-great-grandmother. But I've just had a curiosity. And it just started just seconds ago. But now I've got to do this thing. It's a mission. I already forgot what it was. That's what's so good. Because if I pursued it, it would probably not be as fantastic as that. Are we getting ready to take off? If you want me to hold your hand and say the Shema with you, I will. I get a little nervous when the plane takes off. It doesn't seem possible, physically possible, for it to go. It never feels like it's going fast enough to get airborne. But then I realized that we're on cables. It's an elaborate cable system hooked up to the moon. And that's pulling us up, that's helping a bit. And slinging us around on the other side of the globe. Oh, technology, it amazes me. Look how many people are on this plane. Hey y'all, Daddy, well, y'all wanna do the wave or anything? No? Are there any Broadway choirs? Any Broadway casts? Y'all wanna sing something from Frozen or what have it? No? No, sometimes there'll be Broadway casts on there, and if somebody has a heart attack, they'll do a number from the play. And then you tape it with your phone and you get a million hits. But I don't think that's gonna happen. I think we're just gonna have to sit here and do the puzzle. I love the puzzle. I love the puzzle. I love it. I mean the crossword puzzle. I mean the New York Times crossword puzzle. That's what we mean by the puzzle. Like when you say the city. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be, you know, I'm not trying to be a snob or anything, but that's what we call, that's the puzzle. New York Times crossword. Yep. It's going to be a short flight. They always say that. Oh, it's just a short flight of an hour and 10 minutes. I go, that's relative, boy. That is relative. It's a short flight of the fella in front of you. Doesn't put that seat back and crush your knees like that. I've had that happen. My knees are trapped, and I feel like Harry Houdini when he said, oh, I think this one I messed up. This one I messed up. I should have swallowed the key instead of butt-hiding it. But I went that route. Put it in my basement, and now it's ruined. You know, I should have put it in my attic. That's... And I feel like we're getting ready to take off. Uh-oh. Okay. Hold on. Do you want me to hold your hand? Could you hold my hand? Could we hold hands? Oh, my goodness. I'm feeling that... I'm feeling what they call the shock G. Woo! I don't know how this just defies logic to me. Oh my goodness. Well, we're up in the air. I guess we're still climbing. They say climbing, but I don't see what we're climbing on. You know what? I know this is dangerous, and I shouldn't do this, but I'm gonna jump off the plane. I shouldn't, I know. But I was like, I've been reading about D.B. Cooper, and I'm not gonna rob the plane. I just wanna see if I can't jump off and survive it. I don't have a parachute. That's the only thing. But I don't know if he did. Which is probably, that was probably the weak part of the plan. A lot of times people will strap on a parachute
Then they get halfway down in the air, they pull the string, and pots and pans and all come out. Have you seen this? Have you seen that happen? Pots and pans come out because it's a rucksack. It's really a rucksack and not a parachute. That's why now they make you check it. Now you got to check and see, is there an actual parachute in there? I was watching The Kingsman, and there's a parachute scene in that movie, even. And I believe one of them has their stuff flying out, spoons and everything. Because he didn't look. Is it going to be snack mix, do you think? Warm water and snack mix? That's what I'm going to have. They're always trying to push the ice on me. I said, I don't know about the ice, how clean that is. I'm watching you open the bottle, but the ice, you're getting out, I think you're getting out of the garbage can. I'll just go ahead and have the warm water and the snack mix, both of which I know are hermetically sealed by a hermit. That means a hermit did it. They take it into the woods, into a cave, and there's a man in there. And he's got all sorts of bags and everything, and he's licking them closed. It's not really, you know, sanitary, but they stay closed, let me tell you, because hermit spit is like one of the most powerful glues. It's called, I'm not going to tell you what the commercial name for it is, but we all are used to it, and we all use it, liquid adherence device. Where are you from? Not originally. I don't know. I know people are from all over the place. That's not a very good question to ask. You could have been in the military. Your parents were in the military. Your children or something. And you could have moved all around. Or, you know, I don't know. The place you grew up maybe is not the place you were born. It's a very complicated question, where you're from. It's where you identify with, I suppose. Where do you want to be from? Where do you think you're from? Where are your people from? Hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and leap. I'll see you. Oh, it was so nice talking to you. I'm going out this emergency exit. So you don't have to. Now I'm in the abyss all alone. I've jumped out of the plane. I am now flying without engines. You can hear the wind whipping past my ears as I coast towards the side of the mountain. Hope I don't hit it. I know I probably will eventually. But it seems there's plenty of time until then. Until then, I am soaring. Yes, I feel like a glider. I have been let go, just like a balsa wood flyer being demonstrated by a guy at the mall doing a bally. And he says, come on and look at this plane. It does loop-de-loo. It flies, and I'm flying a balsa wood flyer, and I will fly in the sky. It's going to be beautiful. And yes, I'm going to crash to the ground. We all do. Gravity gets us, one and all. I'm going to merge with the earth because gravity's going to suck me into it. But meanwhile, I'm flying. Even though I'm falling, I am flying. Oh, what a wonderful ride. And there you are. Come on. Soar over towards me, just like they do in those wonderful sequences, those skydiving sequences where they aim at each other and they come on and they join hands. And then they fall together in the shape of a flower and the shape of a great ring. That's us. We're falling together. We're plummeting together, but we're doing it in formation. We're doing it together. We're holding on. And yes, at some point, we're going to have to pull our parachutes and maybe the spoons and pans will fly out, or the parachute. And even if the parachute does fly out, we're still going to hit the ground. But you'll live. I know, it doesn't. First of all, the analogy started out with a balsa wood flyer and then shifted, so that should have been a clue that it wasn't going to work out perfectly. But you get my point, I think, don't you? You live, you toil, and then you're gone. And I don't know where you go. Maybe you do go to some sort of very, like, clear, glowing shopping mall. And I don't know if this is true. And I'm willing to say it. I don't even have any idea. A lot of people say, I don't know what's true, but in my heart, I think, I don't even have that. I don't know what's true, and I have no inkling. You got an inkling. I see lots of people have inklings. Say, I have an inkling, do you? Yes. Is it akin to a feeling? An inkling is akin to a feeling. I have an inkling, I have a hint, I have faith. You have faith? I wish I had faith. What do I have faith in? I don't know. I have faith in my memories and experience and love, I think.
Some things do feel consistent, and I'm just going to gravitate towards them. I don't know what I am. I'm some sort of thing swimming in a great dark pool. I don't think I have any eyes. I'm just a creature drifting. So, well, I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to do. I think I'll go over to where I kind of smell some food. I guess I kind of try to will myself over towards it. And then it turns out that you have made some sort of delicious sandwich. That looks so good. What is that? That's a tofu banh mi, I think. I want to have a bite. Can I have a bite? I'm going to have... there's a friend I go out to eat with, and every time that I order something, they say, oh, I'm going to have some of yours. What? I haven't offered yet. Every time. Oh, I'm going to have some of that. What? No, no, no. Well, just get the same thing. And they say that before they've ordered, too. Like they could turn around and get one. But why mine? I think it's some sort of aggressive thing. I want to take your food. No, what are we, in a zoo or something? I don't want to, what am I, some sort of small, weak panda? Get your hands off, get your own bamboo, my brother. That's my opinion. I can't believe we're together. I can believe we're together because I saw a documentary about radio. And it basically proved to me that radio does exist, more or less, and that there have been people on it, some of them taking it very seriously. I noticed that a lot of the radio that you hear in the past is very professional, and even today. And this is something that is alien to me, because to me, radio is a different beast altogether. It's the difference to me between a lot of radio would be like one of the Avengers movies. Right? It's a multi-million dollar thing, and there's all talented people. And then I feel like what I'm doing is when my grandfather used to take silent 8mm film of the ocean as he's driving down A1A, just the camera hanging out the window. That's what I feel what I'm doing. So I say I'm still sort of a filmmaker. It's just on, you know, the lowest thing you can say that you're still... it's actual, it's literal, it's film. That's kind of thing like that. I am literally making a film. That's true. Mm-hmm. You can't say I'm not. I just wrote down my grocery list. I am a writer of sorts. Okay. That's all right. That's fine. Because I just want to do things. If I waited until I was smarter, then I would never get there. So at some point in my life, I thought, okay, I guess I'm just doing this because... they're not beating a path to my door because of my incredible mousetrap. So I'm going to have to just do, if I want to experience that, I guess I'll just have to do it on, you know, with cardboard boxes or something instead of, you know, actual steel things. And that's fine with me because it is just about experience. Can't take it with you or anything, can you? Is being in the history book so important? History books don't last. Some cult's going to burn all the books your name is in. Eventually, you know, that sculpture of you, someone's going to trash it for good or bad. All statues get torn down, don't they? Eventually, statues of bad people get torn down by good people. Statues of good people get torn down by bad people. Always tearing down the past, trying to destroy memories. Always trying to destroy memories. Always trying to destroy others' maps of the earth. Always trying to destroy someone's stories. Always trying to destroy someone's picture, their blueprints, their plans. Always, always trying to destroy their history, their genealogy. Always, always trying to erase the stars so that they cannot navigate. To snatch the light from their eyes so that they cannot see. To suck the sound from their ears so that they cannot hear. To smell, to sniff their fingerprints off the end of their fingers. Somehow, I don't know how that they would do that. But I see a vision, I'm having a vision of it. Do you have visions, Artie? I do have visions. For a long time, I thought it was spiritual. Now I realize that it's something called my imagination. Well, I would see things, and I'd see, like, pictures in my head, and I'd hear kind of voices and everything. And I thought, I'm getting some sort of signal from some other universe, from some other world. And then I realized, no, I think it's coming from inside the house, so to speak. And it was. It was me. It was my head. I still have it. I have these things at night. You don't probably get these, but when I sleep, sometimes I'll see these little surrealist movies. I think I'm the only one that this happens to. And it's exciting. I love it. It gets tedious sometimes. Can you imagine? Say, oh, I just want to sleep. Why do I have to watch this Man Ray movie of a leaf blowing in a gutter? Oh, and I have to pee. That's worse. Sometimes the little movies will be about me having to pee. And I think, uh-oh, I hope that's not based on a true story. But then I'll wake up and I'll get to actually use the restroom. And I will not have used my dresser drawer, my side table drawer, like in the movie. If you and I were actually together, and we were sitting side by side, perhaps in some kind of waiting room, like Monsieur Hulot in Playtime, sitting there in that waiting room, making rude sounds on the furniture or something. That could be you and me right there. You and I, or you and me, or all three of us, I guess. You, me, I, and I, my Rasta friend. I think we could all sit there together, and we would all end up talking, and we could take turns telling stories about our experience, and maybe that would teach us something. Say, hey, I had a similar experience, or wow, nothing like that has happened to me. To know that that happens to another human being? How interesting. Really? Is that what it's like to climb Mount Everest? Yes. Tell me more. Well, I climbed Mount Everest in my new climbing outfit, and then a storm happened upon us. What happened? Well, we perished, and there my frozen remains stay to this day. Ah. Oh, so you're a ghost. I am indeed a ghost. Oh, you're a ghost. But so, let me get straight. So your corpse, your actual frozen corpse, yes, which looks great, by the way, because it's so cold. Right. That remains on the side of the mountain that you were climbing there in Mount Everest. Yes. Oh, wow. That is interesting. You may be the most interesting spirit or specter of a dead person that I have ever met at a party. That is a great story. What was it like? Well, for a while, I didn't know I was dead. I thought I was in a Kurosawa movie. All right, that's interesting. And then I was like, oh, dang it. I guess I'm gone. And I headed back down the mountain in this form, in the kind of misty, you know, whatever, vapory, I don't know, what am I, steam or something like. And I came down from the mountain like that. And it was hard to leave my body because, you know, you're so used to wanting to take care of it and stuff. Oh, I know. I imagine, you know, and just to let go of that. That's the ultimate let go of your body, I guess. Yeah, you know, you spend so much time worrying about it, and then you go, I guess I don't have to worry anymore. Right, because it's frozen on the side of a mountain. And so you came down, and what was the next thing? Well, I came to this party. This just happened. Yeah, I just died. Like, I don't know. It might have been days ago. Oh, okay. And now you're coming. Oh, it's so, this is, that's great, I guess, but I'm so glad that you chose this party to come to. I don't know how I got invited. My friend Butchie knows the fella whose house we're at. Oh, Butch Spinoza. Yeah, Butch Spinoza. You know him? Yeah, I do. Yeah. All right, yeah. That's what everybody says when I say I know him. Look, we're really old. I mean, I've known him a long time. Let's just put that since we were children. So, oh, I see. Yeah, so there's not much I can. But, boy, it's been interesting to talk to you. I have to excuse myself because I need another, I'm out of seltzer. And, I need another one. And I don't want to, I saw some up there that were cucumber, and I don't want that. So I want to get there where there's still fruit ones. I don't like the vegetable ones. You know, vegetable, as a kid, I thought, when I first found out there were vegetable juice, I was just so appalled. I said, this can't be. Why would somebody do that?
Coffee? The reason I ask is because it doesn't look like coffee.
Oh, it sure doesn't.
I'm pretty sure coffee isn't supposed to be red.
Or thick.
It looks like stage blood.
Stage blood?
Yeah, they mix corn syrup and food dye to make it look like blood in movies and plays and whatever.
Oh.
Or it could be real blood.
Real blood?
Yeah, a few years from now, people are experimenting with time travel and teleportation, leading to many tragic and gruesome outcomes.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's blood. That seems unlikely.
Oh, I know what it is. It's pomegranate syrup. I was going to use it to make Fessenjin for Afshin for no ruse. I guess I just don't remember thinking or doing any of that. Oh, it is blood.
Blood? What are the odds? Now that we know the outcome, we can safely say they were even. There was a 100% chance of that being blood. You just thought it was unlikely because your information was incomplete. I knew it was the remains of some unfortunate future scientist. Ah, oh, I see you found my blood. Don? Yes. Even though I'm your house, I occasionally still produce blood cells, and the cabinet where you keep the cups is sort of where I make them, I guess. And it leaked into the cup.
Well, mystery solved. You were wrong, Butch.
I was right. I said blood.
Yeah, but you got the reason wrong, which means it was just by chance that you were right.
Good point.
You had to think about it there for a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did.
So what are your plans today, Don?
Oh, I thought I'd just sit here on my foundation and bleed into some cups, I guess.
Oh, man.
Man, we're a weird group of people.
Oh, I always tell people, oh, my, I have the craziest group of friends. And they say, oh, mine too. And I feel like I don't want to one-up you, but mine are criminally insane. So I think that when I say crazy, I wasn't exaggerating. I was at a restaurant one time and I was talking with some friends in the booth and what I thought was relative privacy. It is not. You are being eavesdropped upon. Just as you eavesdrop, so shall you be eavesdropped on. And I was. I listen in all the time to conversations because I am a writer, which is a sort of thought thief. I steal other people's stories and everything because my life is kind of dull and is not worth telling. And so I was sitting there in this booth and I was saying something to someone about something. Now, it must have been about this fella that I had met in the 1980s, and it was an old fella, and I was referring to him as an old man, as an old fella, because he was 100 years old. Now, there was a person in the booth behind me who, after I had called this fella old in my story, leans over and says, "Hey, you young people think you know what old is." Something like that, basically telling me off for calling someone old. And as I said, when can I use the word? I mean, if you're not old at 100, I wasn't sure when you... And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He said, "Did you think I'm old?" And I go, "Well, no, not really. And you seem like you're in your 70s or something." "Yeah. All right, not old." I was calling this person old because he was World War I veteran. And I just thought, wow, that's old. And he called himself old. And he was. But, I mean, if it would hurt you or hurt him, it's not worth it to me. Because maybe there is a word that's more accurate. And the word is 100 years old. And is it pertinent to the story? I think so, because it's a nice detail. You know, people that age tend to be interesting just by virtue of the fact that they are. Say, how did you get here? I have no idea. I'm alive because I'm alive. And I could tell you a lot of things that I did, but I don't know if any of them actually caused it. I can tell you what led up to this, but I can't tell you really what caused it. I don't know. And I don't know how it's going to end. I don't know how long I lived. So I can't tell you what to do. I don't know if everything I'm doing is right. Oh my gosh, I don't know the cause of things. I can't see everything I need to see. My information is so limited. I live in a dark pool. And there are things I sense that are swimming below my feet in this dark pool. And I know they're there. And I feel them brush by my legs. And it terrifies me. They could be harmless. Or they could be tasting me. See what I taste like. See if I'm going to be a good meal or not. Are they sharks? Or are they dolphins?
Are they mermaids? Are they manatees? Or are they giant serpents? Are they sea... Not sea cucumbers. That would be okay. That's a type of slug or something. I don't think a sea cucumber is going to do me... Unless it's... Now, here I am being so blasé. A giant sea cucumber sucks me up. Poos me out. I think it's only got one. I don't know if it has a... I think it's got a mouth and an anus. And that's it. Right? That's how I feel when I go out to eat with you guys. Yeah, all right.
Which one's which?
You know, I got two mouths. That's how that... How's that? I'm clearly the anus. You're right. Thank you. That's very good self-knowledge. Butchie knows himself, at least, kind of. That's good. He doesn't have any illusions. How many of us have illusions? I have illusions about myself. I really want to be liked. I don't want people not to like me. And sometimes I think, well, I think I might lie or tell people what they want to hear because I'm so desperate not to be rejected. Oh, I know what it feels like to be rejected. Just the other day, I'm driving, and I think somebody thought I cut them off or didn't let them merge, and boy, he was mad. And I don't know, it was just a split-second decision. I didn't do it to be aggressive or to keep him from getting in front of me or anything. It's just something that happened. Maybe I wasn't paying, and boy, I felt bad for a long time because this person was angry with me. God knows nowadays, maybe angry enough to murder me. How's that? That's interesting. Now I have to take that seriously. I start feeling guilt for something. Then, if I suddenly become healthy about it, I become indignant at the injustice of having this person be mad at me, that mad at me for something that really wasn't important, even if it were my fault. So that's every day. Oh, our hearts must grow exhausted. What must we do to gain refuge from this constant burden of responsibility of having caused things, good or bad? Like when you're on a streak. I see baseball players say, oh, they're on a streak, they're pitching like that, and all of a sudden they sort of forget how to pitch. So what am I doing differently? I must be doing something differently. And I think, gosh, it just seems like now you can pitch. I don't know. Something, I guess, changed. Will you ever know what it is? Maybe not. I hope that I am some sort of constant for you, that you can listen to me and say, Hardy, I think you calmed my heart. My heart was in turmoil, but here it's good hearing another person who just doesn't know what's going on, who's vulnerable, who's scared, who's happy. Sometimes they're ecstatic. Sometimes they're so full of joy and love. Sometimes they're sentimental and sappy. Sometimes they're overwhelmed by cynicism and negativity. Sometimes you just give up, don't you, Hardy? I do. Sometimes you whine like a spoiled baby, don't you? Yes. Sometimes you have the courage of a survivor, don't you? Sometimes you have the courage of somebody who's been through. Yes, I do have that. Sometimes. Sometimes all those things. And I just know that I don't want to add to your burden. Oh, that's all I don't want to do. I'm tired of inadvertently hurting. I can't do it. I'm so sick of cruelty. I'm so sick of it. Oh, what does it take just to say, oh, let me feel your pain for a little bit. Let me put aside my pride for a minute. You know, because I've forgotten that I am vulnerable. I've forgotten that I am a bag of gas and poo and stagnant water and blood. I forgot that I am all those things, and I thought for a minute that I was some sort of royalty made of pure light, some sort of god, some sort of flawless creature. But I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm just a bag of goo. I'm an animal. I smell. I'm an ape. I'm an ape in a suit, and so are you, and I have no right to lord over you. I have no right to have authority over you. I am an ape in a suit. I'm a smelly, stinky, pooped himself ape who reeks of alcohol and cheap cologne, who smells like mothballs and the jungle, who smells like fermented bananas. That's me. That's me. Fermented bananas and some sort of greasy, wet wool stink like a dog that's rolled in filth. And I won't just be your friend And then we can, you know, let me groom the bugs out of your hair or something. That's just the monkey in me talking. But whatever the equivalent is, commiserating, I don't know. Sharing our art, which is a testament to our experience, the things we've felt or thought, the questions we've had, the fear we've had. And you say, yes, I recognize that. Beautifully done. What a beautiful rendering of fear and confusion. Oh, thank you. I just got a new red Kopeck. Yeah, wow. I had to sell my car. All right. But it looks good, though. Oh, my good. So vibrant. What do you call that color? I don't know. Call it Scarlett Johansson. All right. That's a pun. I guess it is. I don't know. Oh, we are together because the air can carry vibrations. Oh, if there were no air, there would be no vibrations. There could be nothing carried through it. If there were no water, there could be no waves. What are waves? Waves have no substance, do they? They're just water moving in a certain way. And what is this? What is this radio broadcast? What are these words that you are hearing? They're just air moving in a certain way, man. They're the same thing as leaves rustling in a forest. They're the same thing as the wind blowing through trees. They're the same thing as water coursing through a river channel. They're the same thing as footsteps on concrete. They are the same thing as a child crying in its crib. It's all the same thing. Waves. Some invisible imprint on a tangible thing. And we will never see, perhaps, the thing causing it. We'll never see what is casting the shadow upon that sheet. But we see the shadow. And we know that it's there, I guess. And we have no choice but to interact with it, because that's our world. That's the world that we live in. And I'm in the world that you live in, and you are in the world that I live in. And since we're all here together and find ourselves together, as if we went to a vacation and stayed in a large house, and we thought we're going to have the house to ourselves, and it turns out there's other people staying there who we don't know, and we think, hang on, I thought this was my house. No, nobody gets the house by themselves. That's what a life is. You say, I thought this is my life. Well, you know, it is, but it's communal, all right? Doesn't mean you have to share everything. It just means there's sort of one world. And so there's going to be others in it, doing it at the same time. You can't go to Disney World alone. The fact that there's a Disney World is because it needs all these people to go to it. Or it can't exist. So you're going to have to face the fact that there's others at this Disney World, and that there's crowds, and that it smells bad, and all these things. Because you can't do it by yourself, just by definition. You wouldn't have the money. Your ticket would cost $5 trillion. So why are we all here alive at once? Because we're splitting the cost. That way a ticket is affordable. That's the way it was explained to me by the I can't tell you. Oh my gosh, it almost came out. What are you doing? You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, or worldwide online at WFMU.org. We are so glad that you tuned in today, and I want you to join me again next week.